All right, if you could turn in your Bibles now to Exodus 5. Exodus 5, page 48 in the Pew Bible. Just want to make two quick announcements. One is there are 2020 is nearby. It's coming up just in a few weeks, a new year ahead of us. And there are sign-up sheets in the coffee area for different ways you can serve. Maybe you are here and you would love to serve, but don't know how. There's different ways from the nursery, safety ministry teams, to bring in snacks, to even greeters. We have a new sign-up sheet just for the greeters. You can pick your date and do that. It's as we grow, as we get bigger, there's lots to do. We need all hands on deck. So if you're interested in volunteering, you can sign up. If you have questions about that, please talk to me. Also, in the bulletin, you have an announcement about the church building, proposed church building plan, the project. So there's a little blurb about that. I won't say too much about that. You can read for yourself. But we did decide as a church that we won't be taking out any loans. We won't be going to any banks or anything like that. We're going to pay for it ourselves, which is the right way to do it. That means we have to all pay for it, right? Unless we start printing our own money, but I don't think that's legal or ethical. But give. Pray about how you and your family can give. And if you do want to give to the building fund, this is very important. You need a separate check with the building fund on it. Or if you want to give cash, maybe just put it in an envelope marked building fund. But it's exciting times as we see our church grow. I just can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for us. So with that being said, now let's go to God's Word, Exodus 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to him, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it, and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made a stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, we just pray for your spirit to work in our hearts, our minds, as we look at Exodus 5. Help us understand it, but change us. Change our hearts. Draw us closer to you. And for those here who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, use this text, Exodus 5, to bring them to faith and repentance in Christ alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Moses and Aaron are to go to before Pharaoh, right? We've been building up to this moment since chapter 1, really. This is a confrontation that we've been waiting for, Moses versus Pharaoh. But really, on a bigger level, it's God. God versus Pharaoh. And we've been waiting for weeks for this. And now we are here at the first encounter of Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. So let's look again at verses 1 through 9. Let me read that again. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw from themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words.'" All right, so here we have the first confrontation. And we're going to see these confrontations back and forth many times. But here's the first one. Moses and Aaron confronting Pharaoh at doing what God says, asking Pharaoh to let God's people go, right? And Pharaoh says no. But let's look at two major things that happen with Pharaoh's response here in the first 9 verses. First, what do we see about Pharaoh? Pharaoh reveals himself, reveals his disdain for God. Do you notice that? Look at verse 2. "Who is the Lord that I should obey and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord." There's this lack of knowledge of God. He does not know God, but because he does not know God, he has a disdain for God. "Who's this God you're talking about? I don't know him. I don't care." That's what he's saying here. And remember the context, remember the culture. In the eyes of the Egyptians, who is Pharaoh? He's God himself. "I'm God. Why should I listen to your God? I don't know your God." Pharaoh does not know Yahweh. And that right there is a very important point. Pharaoh does not know God. Pharaoh does not know God. And because he does not know God, he does not feel obligated to listen to God. That's an important point as well. And that's important because don't we hear that from people today? Or if we don't hear that from people, that will help us better understand how we interact with people in our own culture. You know, maybe we're talking with someone about an issue that's in our society, like abortion. But now after a great Sunday school, it's hard for me to talk about abortion because you did awesome, Autumn, this morning. So thank you. But maybe marriage and definition of marriage. And we talk about the definition of marriage with a non-believer, with someone in this world. And what do we do? What should we do? We take them to Scripture, right? And we use Scripture as our basis when we engage our culture. And we should do that. But maybe they won't care. And most of the time, they won't care. Because, cool, you use the Bible. I don't. You know, evolution, creation. We believe the Bible teaches creation. Cool. The world says, I don't care. Because the world doesn't know God. And when the world doesn't know God, anyone who doesn't know God, they don't care about following him, listening to his word. And we see that with Pharaoh. He has a disdain for God, so he will not follow or listen to God. But we also see Pharaoh's pride here, don't we? He doesn't have to listen to God because he's God. He doesn't have to do that. I'm God. I'm Pharaoh. But what do we also see big picture here? Pharaoh's heart is hardening as God predicted. And he's using pride to harden his heart. And we think, okay, his heart won't be hardened for much later on. But no, right away, we see Pharaoh's heart just hardening. He doesn't care. But secondly, what else do we see here? Pharaoh gets hardcore with the Israelites, doesn't he? We think, okay, can't get much worse than the first four chapters. Can't get much worse for the Israelites. But then we get to chapter 5, and it gets a whole lot worse, doesn't it? Look at his disdain for the Israelites. Look at his lack of caring about the Israelites. He meets with Aaron and Moses. They give him their spiel. They give him their request. You have so much free time on your hands, Israelites. So now I'm giving you more work. And look how horrible it gets. Instead of having the straw brought to them to make bricks in their slave labor, they had to go out and get the straw for themselves and yet produce the same amount. Think about it this way. Think about it. You were asked to build a house. And you were asked to build a house and you had to get the house done in a certain way or by a certain time. And all the materials were going to be brought to you, or they were going to be at Home Depot, and Jim was going to give them to us, nice discount because we had connections with Home Depot. But then all of a sudden, after we are working on the project, what happens? We have to go out and get our own materials. We have to get the nails. We have to get the lumber. We have to get the concrete, whatever it is that builds a house. I've never built one, so I don't know. But we have to go out and do that. And yet, by the same date, get it done at the same time. Here, the Israelites are told, hey, build the bricks. Do the work. And now here's more work to do and get it all done at the same time. This is horrible. This is absolutely horrible for the Israelites. How demeaning it must have been, how discouraging and hopeless they must have felt. Because here Pharaoh, we thought Pharaoh was bad to begin with. Here he shows he's even worse because Pharaoh doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about God's people. He's Pharaoh. They are his slaves. But now look at verses 10 through 14. Because actually, it kind of gets worse. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, complete your work, your daily task, each day as when there was straw. And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past? So here, it's not just a theory. It's not just a law to be debated among the Egyptian ruling class. This is the law. The Israelites have to do this. And we see the ramifications of this decree, this law that Pharaoh issued. And can you read how horrible it is in verses 10 to 14? I mean, do you get a sense of that here? They're to go out and get straw, and why straw? That seems kind of weird, doesn't it? You know, why straw? But it makes the bricks stronger, more durable to build Pharaoh's, palaces and whatnot. And so they had to get it. But do you see it? Hurry! The taskmasters were urgent. Hurry! You know, get this. Complete your work. Complete your daily tasks. And so there's this urgency. They want to get this done, but they know how hard it is. And then what happens? The Israelites who were put in charge of the other Israelites, that would be a hard job, they were beaten because this was not happening. They were not meeting their quota. And Pharaoh knew full well that it would never happen. And so they were beaten. They were beaten and yelled at. So verbally abused, physically abused. It's just horrible. Now just try to imagine yourself in this situation. We go from Exodus 4, and it's going to come up later, but the end of Exodus 4, the people of Israel believed God's plan. And what do? Anyone remember? Go charismatic on me. It's okay. That was how great of a sermon it was last week. It was just a beautiful sermon that none of you remember. They worshiped. They worshiped. They believed and they worshiped. All right? And now they're being beaten. They're being abused. Their life is getting worse with no end in sight. And actually, it gets worse. Look at 15 through 21. Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants. Yet they say to us, make bricks, and behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. And the foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, you shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day. And they met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us a stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hands to kill us. Now, there's two parts here. Like, one is like, wow, like the first part, this is pretty brave of the foreman, because they're going before Pharaoh, right? They're not going before like the manager of their department in the company. They're not going to be even going before the CEO. They are going before Pharaoh, who, how do we put it nicely? He has psychopath tendencies, right? He likes to kill people. And they're going before him because it's that bad. Because the beatings are that bad. The abuse is that bad. And look at what they say. It's not like they're not taking any of the blame, nor should they, but they're not owning up to anything. They're saying, it's your people. It's your fault that this is happening. Again, they're saying this to Pharaoh. That means they were at their wit's end. That means they felt like they had nowhere else to go, no other hope. They felt this is the Hail Mary. This is the only chance we will confront Pharaoh. It's crazy, but they did it. It's bold. But then we get to the sad part, don't we? Because what do we see here? We see, you know, nothing changes. Pharaoh's like, you're idle. That is, in Hebrew, when you see a repetition like that, or if you see the word certainly in English, that is emphasis. In other words, here Pharaoh is just, he's losing it. You are idle. You are idle. He's a raving maniac in a sense. He can't even contain it anymore. You are idle. No reason, no care for the Israelites. You are idle, and that's bad. So they realize, okay, it's done. We can't do anything about it. So they walk out, and who do they confront? Moses and Aaron. But this is the sad part. If the beatings aren't bad enough, what do we see? We see division. We see division among God's people. The foremen, they walk out, and there Aaron and Moses are waiting for them. And look what they say. Basically, you did this. You did this to us. You brought this pain among us. And is that true? No. Remember, this is God's plan. This whole thing is God's plan. And this plan of going to before Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron, we're going to go before Pharaoh. We're going to tell him this. They told them that this is what we're going to do because God told them to tell them. And remember what happened. Remember last week's sermon, how wonderful it was. Remember that at the end of chapter 4? What did the Israelites do? Go ahead, shout it out. They believed. And that was the second thing. Worship. Man, my sermon must have been that good. Wow. They believed. They believed in the plan. More importantly, they believed God, Yahweh. But now they come out and they're blaming Moses and Aaron. And that's exactly what Pharaoh wanted. Pinning them against themselves, causing division, causing strife. And really, that's what Satan wanted. Not unity, not peace despite hardships, division, anger, lies, slander. And it's horrible. It's sad. We're building up chapters 1 through 4 to this confrontation. We get to this confrontation, and what do we end up with? Division and discord among God's people. And you know, here's a sad thing. How often do we see that in the church today? How often do we see division, discord, strife, bitterness, anger toward one another in the church? Why? Because God's plan is not going according to our plan. We're not getting our way. So what do? We cause division. We cause strife. And sometimes we do it in holy ways, right? We'll talk to one another in the church. It's not gossip. It's just expressing concern. And what does it do? that person then goes out to someone else and expresses concern. But what it's doing is causing division. It's causing strife. Now, in the church, we don't, you know, have to agree 100%. No, of course not. That's fine. But let me tell you something. Satan rejoices. Satan is so happy when there is division in the church among God's people. Satan does not want unity among among God's people. He wants division. And what happened right here, right now in Exodus 5, is division. Is division. And it's so saddening. It's so heartbreaking to Moses that we turn to verse 22 and 23. Look at his response. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." I love Exodus. I love the history of Moses. Why? Because it's so honest. This is me. This is me. This is probably you when things don't go our way. And here, I want to be clear. Moses is not in sin here. He's not challenging God. He's sad. He's heartbroken. Why? Because of the division. Because his people, God's people, aren't being rescued at this second. And so he's sad and he cries out, "Why? I've been there in ministry. I've been there. Why is this happening?" Right? Why? You've been there. In your own, maybe in ministry, but in your own life. Why? Why is this happening? Why? And that's the proper response. It's okay. It's okay to go to God and cry out. It's okay. It's okay when our life does not turn out, go the way we thought it would. Right? It's okay to go to God and say, "Why? Why?" Because here's the thing. Is this going according to God's plan? Because, like, look, if you look at the verse 23, he's kind of, this is, you're not doing what you said you were doing. Is it going according to God's plan? Absolutely it is. It's not going to Moses's perception of what God's plan is. But this is going according to God's plan, without a doubt. We know the rest of the story. But Moses doesn't see it. He has faith, but he has what? A lack of faith, too. So he cries out, "Why?" And so here, this is my encouraging moment for you guys and for me. Cry out to God. We get in moments like this, too. We get in moments where we are saddened, when we are hurt, when we are angry, when we don't get God's plan. We're still living by faith, but there's a lack of faith there. And what are we to do? We are to cry out to God. Listen to Psalm 86, 1 through 5. "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." And the rest of the Psalms are filled with moments like that. Cry out to God. How about Jesus? Jesus on the cross. What did he yell? He yelled this: my God, why have you forsaken me?" He cries out to God. He cries out in the darkest moment in history. He cried out to God the Father. Who here needs to cry out to God? We're Presbyterians, so we would never say it out loud. But who needs to cry out to God? I mean, who here feels like each day, each week is getting harder and harder and harder? Cry out to God. Maybe another bill came in the mail, right? Cry out to God. My car just had another thunking noise in it. Again, I cried out to God, "Lord, please get me to the mechanic. And then please let it be under 5,000. I hope he doesn't have a sense of humor and makes it 4,999. right? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Who here, honestly, think about this. Maybe this is you. Who here thinks life is falling apart? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. But here's the thing. We cry out to God, but what do we have to do? Cry out to God. And I don't think Moses is missing this. I think he struggles with this like we do. But I think we are to cry out to God, but then what? Live by faith. We cry out to God. You know, I cry out to God, Lord, let my car not break down. Get me to the mechanic. But then I have a plan. Lord, if it's your will for my car to break down, I'm going to be on Park and not Townsend. I don't want to die. Right? So we cry out to God. We cry out our emotions. But then we trust. And we live by faith. And now apply it not to your car breaking down, because that's really what, in the grand scheme of things, very unimportant. Right? But in your big ticket items in your life. You cry out to God, but then you trust God. Because guess what? Here's the thing. It might not be, our life might not be going to according to our plan, the way we want it. We want the Staples red button, easy button, right? I want the easy life. That's what I want. It's not how it is. So we cry out and we live by faith, trusting God and then crying out, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. So cry out, but know that God is in control. But here's the thing. I do actually want to take that moment now and actually use this text and actually tell you about a thing that's common in evangelicalism today that's not true. A very popular teaching in the world of evangelicalism is, if you have faith, then you will be blessed. If you believe, good things will happen to you, right? You will have your best life now. I won't mention any names, though. Who teaches that? Okay, you guys... Okay, I got two smiles. Good. But what happened at the end of Exodus 4? Does anyone remember my great sermon from last week? They believed and they worshiped. But now, don't forget the worship part because that's important. But they believed. And then we get to the beginning of Exodus 5 and we don't see any lack of belief, right? They believed. And then where do we see a lack of belief? All the way at the end of chapter 5. So in other words, they had belief, but guess what happened? Life got worse. Because in life, we're not guaranteed to have a great, easy life. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed eternal life because of Jesus. But we are not guaranteed easyism. We're not. We want that. I want that. But we're not guaranteed that. And anytime you hear someone say, if you're having a hard time in life, well, have more faith. Run away and burn any books that they write. I mean that almost literally. The truth is we believe and we trust God. And we might have a hard life ahead of us. God is with us. And we believe and we trust. And when we are hurting, when we're lacking that trust, we cry out. We cry out. So brothers and sisters in Christ, believe. Trust Him. He's God. He has a plan here in Exodus. We're going to unfold that more next week. We're going to see His response next week, Lord willing. Believe God and trust Him. And think about, why can we trust God? Because it's Christmas. We can trust God because He gave us Jesus. We can trust God because He looks down on us and His love for His people is so strong. He doesn't just free His people from Egypt and the Egyptians. No, He loves His people so much that He said, that's cool, I'll do that. But then you move forward in history and He says, I will send my Son, Jesus, God, second person in the Trinity. And He will die on the cross for my people. That's how much I love my people. Think about that love. No one in this room loves each other that much. No one. We can trust God because He loves us. He's holy. He's faithful. And He's in control. But in those moments that I have, in those moments that you have, and we struggle, cry out to Him. Don't hold it in. Don't just pull up your bootstraps. Cry out to him. Like Moses. Cry out to him. And finally, maybe you're here and you're more like Pharaoh. Not the murderous psychopath like Pharaoh. But maybe you don't know God. You don't know Yahweh. You don't know Jesus. So you really don't care about the Bible, in a sense. Know Jesus. Here's something the Bible doesn't have to teach you. Every person on earth is a sinner. We're all bad. We all do bad things. And because of that, we cannot be saved. We need Jesus. So if you are here and you don't know Yahweh, you don't know the true Savior, Jesus Christ, then repent and trust him. We can't be saved without Jesus. We can't even cry out to God without Jesus. Come to Jesus. Be saved. Have hope. And live for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the honesty of Scripture. Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters in Christ here who are hurting, who feel like they are drowning in life. I pray they will be like Moses in a sense here and cry out to you. Cry out the pain, the hurt, the confusion. Maybe cry out the joys and the blessings. But Father, help us cry out to you. And Father, help us live our life for you, but living by faith, trusting you as our sovereign, holy God, who is in control, even when things that seem like they're falling apart or things are going the way we don't want them to go. Help us live by faith. And Father, for those here who do not know you, I pray you reveal to them their need for Jesus. And Father, save them. Save them through Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name.